That is the familiar intro sound to the People's Podcast, the favourite, world's favourite international transatlantic wrestling podcast with me, Andy P, and John Shoes, here to talk about your favourite WWE, TNA, NXT, not so much TNA action that's been going on over the past week and beyond. And we're going to jump right on in. John.
Hello.
Hello.
It is the heel John Shoes.
The heel John Shoes, which is quite a turnaround considering
you
I thought
I was
going to be...
You know what they say, NDP, when you have no charisma on the mic, you may as well just turn heel.
Well, that's what Triple H did.
Right?
That's what Triple H did. So, if you cast your mind back to last Saturday night, of course, we saw WWE Roadblock. Overall thoughts on the show?
It was a good show, man. If you don't like Raw because you like wrestling, then you would like Roadblock because it was all wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
It was all good. Like, every match was good to me. I didn't really have too many complaints.
It was
not even with the Stardust and Sami Zayn match did
nope.
I have too many complaints. I thought he got a good match out of Stardust.
I think it was a lot more solid than I thought it was going to be, the show.
Yeah, definitely.
I think that if I was going into it with not really any expectations, and it turned out to defy all of them. I mean, I think the thing is with these shows is you can tell that the production values are obviously a bit lower than your normal TV and pay-per-views.
Yeah.
Crowd sounds a little bit different.
Yeah, there was only 9,000 there.
Yeah. But overall, I thought it was pretty good. Main event was pretty good.
Yes. I thought the main event was great.
Well, I mean, that's something I noticed was, and I tweeted it, and you saw that, was I put, you know, Triple H in that match for me proved he can still go and he can put on a top match, regardless of age.
He's still the best worker in that business right now. Like, when it comes to working, you know, like working a body part, etc. Like, and Dean Ambrose really, like, instead of giving Dean Ambrose an 8 or 10, 12-minute match on Raw, he got 26 minutes to work. It showed that he's a good technician in the ring.
Exactly. And I think that, you know, the more that... you forget, you know, that Triple H, they used to call him the Cerebral Assassin because he would work on a particular body part. He was very smart in a wrestling match. He made it look pretty real. You know, he didn't have a sort of style that was...
John Cena.
Exactly.
Triple H is better than John Cena.
Oh, well, yeah, that by far, you know, that's
Triple H,
that's like a ridiculous...
Sorry, I don't always give Triple H credit, but I gotta commend him for that main event because even in a loss, he put Dean Ambrose over strong.
Yeah.
He made Dean Ambrose look strong. Like, at certain points, he made him look dominant. Like he didn't respect Triple H. Like, the storytelling in that match was beautiful.
Yes.
Beautiful.
The pin with the foot under the rope. I mean, that was...
That was questionable.
That was a moment, though. That was a good moment.
They got me so good, my brother.
I
thought WrestleMania changed right there. I grabbed my girlfriend. I was like, Jen, wake up! What just happened?
Well,
and then he called off the pin.
I know. It was overall a strong pay-per-view. I felt that the Brock Lesnar thing was perhaps left a bit muddied. Obviously, he didn't get his hands on Bray Wyatt.
Mm-hmm.
Bray
was injured.
Was he?
Yeah, he couldn't compete.
Oh, I was unaware of that.
Yeah, but, I mean, 3 weeks ago, before they advertised it as Roadblock, they did advertise Brock Lesnar versus Luke Harper at that house show.
Right, okay.
And they probably would have did the handicap match or whatever if Bray Wyatt wasn't injured, but, I mean, they say he was injured. I don't know.
Is he...
I wouldn't doubt it.
It can't be... I mean, he's out for long, or did he know the status?
Oh, nah, I don't know. I don't know the length of the injury, but...
Yeah. Well, I mean,
I just heard on another podcast that he was injured. That's why he didn't compete.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, something that I really noticed about Triple H, and I also noticed it, in fact, I didn't even, I think I just took it for granted, a roadblock, but obviously, Monday Night Raw, big surprise, was his match against Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah.
Now, what I loved about this was it was finally a chance for Dolph. You know, when he first came down to the ring, I thought, you know, oh God, what are they going to do? What's going to be said
Yeah.
here? This is going to be cringeworthy. It's going to be embarrassing. But I thought Dolph put himself across really well in that promo section. And then when they said, you know, when Stephanie said, right, you're going to face Triple H, I was like, right, there's going to be some sort of catch here. Triple H is surely not going to wrestle on Raw. But he did, which was awesome. The match
Yeah.
itself, again, brilliant.
Great match.
Really thought, you know, is and because there was something on the line, obviously Dolph's WrestleMania appearance, etc.
Yeah.
Therefore, you thought they put a good enough of it to make you think that Triple H could lose, and maybe, you know, I thought no, he probably won't lose clean, but there's a chance that he could lose. So, but what I actually noticed was how, for me, Triple H is in far better shape than he was last year when he faced Sting.
Oh man, I'm glad you said that.
He's, you know, I was looking at his stomach, it's toned, you know, he looks a lot, you know, more powerful, whereas last year WrestleMania he just looked bulky. So it looks like he's training, whatever he's doing is going well. Maybe it's the fact that he's, you know, competing more. I know that that's not much, but you know, he's done the Royal Rumble, he's been a lot more physically demanding role, and the fact that he's been brawling on Raw a lot, he's had the match against Dean Ambrose as well, so he's had a lot more sort of physical interaction, I think, than he had in a while, so maybe that's had something to do with it, but for me, he's definitely looking a lot sharper, and just more like, you know, if you'd put the championship on him this time last year, it would have been like, well, that's a joke. But he actually, you know, carries himself really well in the ring, and he's probably in the best shape he's been in for a long time. So,
Yeah.
you know, that's the main thing I noticed about him. And yeah, the fact that he can go, and I felt like the match was also, you know, I thought that was like a little nod to Dolph, for him to get a match with Triple H on Raw when Triple H is probably only going to wrestle once on Raw, you know, pre-Mania, and maybe never again.
Yeah.
So for Dolph to get that's got to be a big heads up to him.
Yeah, and it was a good match. It was worked really well. Like I said, I was glad you said that because my friend said the same thing while he was watching, like when he was watching Roadblock. Said Triple H looks to be in better shape than he was last year at Mania. Like, and he does. Last year at Mania, I think he was probably 10 pounds heavier if he was 265. They introduced him at 255 on Raw. So he has lost some weight, and when he was wrestling Sting, dude, his body was all bruised up from all the bumps he was taking that day, like during the match with Sting. It was like it wasn't comfortable to watch. Like his whole thigh was bruised, you know, his back was red. Same thing with Sting. And now it actually looks like, you know, Triple H is at least 2 years ahead of Sting. Or at least 2 years ahead of the guy that was there last year, Triple H.
I think he looks like a threat. You know, he looks like legitimately could beat, you know, Dean Ambrose, Dolph Ziggler, and Roman Reigns. And, you know, that leads me to obviously Roman's return on Raw after the Dolph Ziggler match. Obviously, we're back in Philadelphia, who have a love-hate
Well,
relationship with him.
Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh, yeah.
Was it?
Pennsylvania, though.
Sorry,
It's
sorry.
still Pennsylvania.
So, for me, his reaction was, it was Royal
It wasn't
Rumble-esque,
there.
though. You know,
Yeah, it wasn't there.
it was thunderous, booze. Thunderous. It was constant. It was almost like there was a plane flying over the arena for the entire time. Now, don't get me wrong, I thought that the segment was strong. You know, I thought that the beatdown on Triple H was pretty brutal, you know. I thought that the television smashed over his back and stuff.
Yeah,
That
that was
was
realistic. Like, that was realistic because I saw, you know, what is it called? After Raw, you know, they have that little segment on YouTube. They had Triple H getting staples in his head and getting shards of glass pulled out of his back.
Oh, so that was...
Yeah.
So
It wasn't a fake TV. Like, he smashed glass
open. Oh, yeah, I know that, but
And he split his head open, like, the shoot way with that thing that he threw at him.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, he got, like, 7 staples in the side of his head.
I was wondering that.
It was disgusting to watch. Oof.
But, you know, well, hey man, I'm telling you, I'm all for the red, you know.
Me too, but I just wish they would let them do it in a safe way rather than they keep putting themselves in danger
yeah.
doing it the hard way. Like, that's a real cut in the side of his head. He
yeah.
could have just stuck a little thing in there and twisted it, and there's the same effect.
Yep.
But for some reason, to investors, they'd rather see somebody accidentally get hurt than do it to themselves in a safe way.
It's ridiculous, and I mean, I was watching
That was just, I mean, talking about the segment, though, that to me, if Roman Reigns doesn't turn heel, I don't know what they're doing. Like you said, the thunderous boos, like, Triple H is still being treated as the babyface.
Yep. Well, the thing is, Triple H is only being treated like the babyface in that feud, because everyone was behind Dolph Ziggler when he was fighting him. You know, so...
Yeah. In that feud, exactly. Like, when he was fighting Dean Ambrose, when he was... He beat up Roman Reigns on Raw, and the fans were cheering, and then when he beats up Dean Ambrose on Raw the same way, the next week, they're booing him.
Mm-hmm.
They don't follow through with what they listen to, apparently.
Exactly.
That's their focus group? Please.
But
we're their focus group?
For me, it's a strange one because he's obviously been off TV for a while, and I was like, is the reason
mm-hmm.
that they're doing that because they know he's going to get booed every week?
Yeah, they were keeping him away from the smart cities.
That's
you know, they still have to go to Brooklyn after this and another city around there. Like, it's not going to be pretty for the guy.
No,
basically, they should have just kept him off TV for as long as possible.
Something that made me laugh during that segment, though, was after...
The girls?
No, it was after... Oh, God. I just remembered them. Those
yeah.
women, it's like, wow, you seriously got that little
self-respect. I'm pretty sure she was trying to grab Roman's cock.
Yep. She was
yeah.
definitely
she
trying
was
to grab him.
Out. She was losing
yeah,
it.
She would look like a lunatic.
Yeah, she was losing it.
Yeah, she was hysterical.
Like, she clearly didn't know he was coming back.
Yeah, it was just very strange.
Yeah,
it was uncomfortable, actually. I'm not
going
to lie.
It was weird because they went by her, you know what I mean? And you saw how weird she got. And then when Roman's beaten, like, Triple H up around the ring and it wasn't working out, he went back over there to beat him up in front of her.
Yeah.
So that he could get some kind of reaction out of
yeah.
this.
Yeah, I'm surprised Michael Cole going, look at the effect that Roman Reigns has on the WWE Universe. That
yeah.
woman's hysterical.
No,
or
he couldn't
like
say
that.
That to us, though, because we'd be like, what do you mean? These the 75% booze in here? Is
exactly.
that what you're talking about? That effect?
Exactly. But what I was actually alluding to was just after or during the beatdown, when the Usos came in, and they told him to, like, stop. And I was like, okay, that's fair enough. That you know, he's like, okay, that's his family. And then
yeah.
Jack Swagger came in.
Jack Swagger and Mark Henry. I was
well,
like,
I can,
what the
you
hell?
Know what? I can kind of understand Mark Henry. He's got a bit of respect, I'm sure, around the locker room. But I just thought when Jack Swagger came in, I was like,
yeah.
What business are you? Who's going to listen to you, Jack? What? What, were you just standing, like, eating your lunch, and then you went, oh, what's going on? Hey, you,
yep.
stop it. You know, it's
he was
like
back there in catering like he is every Monday.
Ah, oh, jeez. Well, I tell you.
He's just eating. He's like, what's the commotion?
He is eating. If you saw him on Roadblock, jeez, he looked out of shape to me.
Yeah, man, he was moving real slow.
Yeah, he was.
I was just thinking to myself, like, this is a waste of money. No offense to him. But they could be signing anybody else from the indies making money off them.
Since when did he start coming down to the ring in shorts?
Yeah, that was weird.
I thought he was going to
wrestle
in that.
And then he took them off. I was like, what the hell did you take the shorts off for? What was the point of wearing them?
Exactly.
It's like gimmick infringement on Kevin Owens.
It was just strange. The whole thing was weird when he appeared. But overall, I thought that was pretty
solid.
Strong stuff. Yeah, we'll just have
How'd
to
How'd you feel
see.
About Enzo and Cass.
What about them?
The fans there were loving them.
Oh, during the you know how much of a
Yeah,
fan
Road
I am
Wild.
of them. I actually fast forwarded the match.
Are you kidding me?
No. Did they win?
Oh, Andy P.
Did they win?
No, they didn't win. It was a solid match. Like, it was a really good old school
Do
tag
you know
team
what though,
match to
man?
win.
I'll tell you something.
Colin Cassidy, to me, he's grown a lot over the past year and a half. Like, he's gotten way better.
The thing is for me though, man, it doesn't matter how good a match is, if I'm not invested in the characters, then I'm
Yeah.
not gonna go along for the ride. And the problem is that I just don't like these guys because I hate this attitude that they've got. It's just not appealing to me, that sort thing. It's just for me,
Yeah.
it's a lame gimmick. I get that there's people who do like it and understand
This
me.
is John Shoes, and he's the most charismatic man on the mic, and you can't teach that.
Do you know what? I think it doesn't translate outside America. To me, they just seem like really arrogant
Well, I mean, I could
assholes.
say that you're wrong because they were in Canada and it got over with
Okay,
9,000 people.
sorry.
I could say that.
North America, then.
Okay, all right, yeah, all right,
You
all
know,
right. I'll take that.
I just see them as like arrogant and just their.
Do you like the New Day though? Aren't they like kind of the same thing?
Nope, I don't like the New Day either.
Oh my God, Andy P, why are we friends?
But
No, I'm just kidding.
I like the New Day more than I like them.
Oh, okay.
The New Day are kind of growing on me a little bit. Do you know what? I probably prefer them as faces than I do heels. Because I
Yeah.
felt as heels, right, the reason they didn't work for me was that they were too much comedy and not enough kick-ass to be heels. I didn't see them as a threat. I didn't
They
think.
started to do that around Royal Rumble because they had a really stiff match against the Usos, but then it just kind of stopped after that.
Yeah, they were too much comedy.
Yeah.
So now obviously they've turned face because they've obviously with this League of
Yeah, how'd you
Nations.
feel about that? Because I loved it. It was like they were confirming it. Michael Cole, for the first time ever, said, "This capacity crowd is chanting New Day rocks," you
Yeah,
know?
and I was like, well, you know
It's like, oh,
what?
baby
I
faces. Wow.
prefer them that way, man. I really do. I prefer
So do
that.
I, dude.
I just think
I
that.
love heels. Like I said, I love heels, but the money is always in them being a baby
Yeah.
face.
Yeah. I think it's kind of almost like a Rock type situation. You know, it's
Yeah.
like they kept them heel for as long as they could.
That's
And
what some people keep rumoring, that The Rock will give them, like, I don't know, he'll embrace them when they win at Mania or something so that they can turn babyface that way.
who?
That'd be kind of cool to me. Because they already had their little beef, and now that they're becoming babyface or whatever, they overcome
But they
something, and The
don't need
Rock
that.
comes out and congratulates them.
They don't
That'd be
need
pretty
that.
cool.
They don't need it though, because they're already.
Yeah, they're over. They're
Yeah.
over with the fans.
I don't think. I think. I don't know. I
I
don't
think that
know.
would just kind of cement it. You know, it'd keep this
Yeah.
going for a little bit longer instead of like it breaks up down the road 8 months, 9 months. I don't want to see the New Day break up.
Hey man, I
Because they're
want.
not going to do anything with any of them individually. What do
No.
we want? Big E to become the new Dolph Ziggler?
Well, none of them were successful before.
That's what I'm
Well,
saying.
even
I don't
Kofi
want them to
Kingston,
go
who had
back
been
to
around
that.
for ages, was
Yeah.
never a key guy.
I like that guy too. It's like I don't want Xavier to go back to freaking juking and jiving and breakdancing. He's a great manager.
Grow his mustache back. His
Yeah.
Richard Pryor look.
Yeah. He kind of looked like that guy from Key and Peele when he had that mustache.
I don't know
I
who
don't know if
that
you know that
is. I
show,
don't know
sorry. It's
that.
on Comedy Central.
We've got a breakdown in communication.
Yeah, he looks like Jordan Peele.
So, I was actually going to bring up something that you said last week that I think may actually happen. So, last week you had talked about the Intercontinental title and it possibly being a multi-man match.
Yeah, I
Well,
wasn't sure though. I don't know if it'll be like three, four, five, six
it
men.
sounds like they might be going that route because they were talking about all the people who think that they should have an Intercontinental title shot.
Yeah.
And I struggle to remember who those people were, which is annoying.
If I could guess, maybe Dolph Ziggler, Chris Jericho? No?
No, it
Okay.
was people like, I think it was like Neville, possibly,
Neville,
who
okay.
is,
Neville just got hurt though.
exactly, so he's out.
Monday, damn.
Miz is the other one.
Miz, yeah. I've heard about that. I keep hearing that they're gonna Maybe go a triple threat route with The Miz thrown into that Sami
Yeah,
Zayn, Kevin Owens thing?
I
Because they're
think.
not really pushing the Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn thing right now.
I find it strange.
It's
Last week
throwing me
I said it
off.
would have been better with just the two of them, but.
Yeah, that's how I feel. I don't want The Miz anywhere near that. Throw him in the Battle Royal. The Battle Royal's on the pre-show, by the way.
I had no doubt that was going to be the case. It's,
Yeah,
you
that's
know.
on the pre-show, and the Dudleys versus the Usos. Those are the confirmed ones.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there will be another one with Team Bella and Team Lana. Like a six-woman tag
Oh,
match.
God.
Based on that segment from Monday, you know. Team
Yeah.
Bad taking Lana's side, and then, you know, you could have Brie Bella, Paige, and someone else, maybe freaking Summer Rae.
Oh man, that was just embarrassing, that
Yeah.
whole thing. That Paige backstage. Oh man.
That's cringeworthy.
I'll tell you something about Paige, right? And I used to be a fan of Paige. I thought she was really
So
good.
was I.
And
I
then
felt the way that Lana. I felt what Lana said. I was like, yeah.
well, do you know
So
what? For me, it wasn't even Total Divas that ruined her. It was when she was a judge on Tough Enough. And it was her, Daniel Bryan, and it was originally Hulk Hogan. And then obviously Hulk had to split. And they brought in The Miz to replace him. Now,
wow.
this might shock you, right? So going into this, I hated The Miz and I thought Paige was pretty cool. But Paige, all she did on that show was she showed her age because she's young and she did nothing but shout and make stupid remarks. Whereas The Miz came across really well with really good constructive comments and
Yeah.
it was like an Austin Brett switch. I was like, right, I actually now like The Miz and I friggin' hate Paige.
Yeah.
So, it was your classic WrestleMania
It's
13 double
crazy.
switch, and I just, so now I don't mind The Miz. I don't rate him as a wrestler, unfortunately, but I don't
Yeah.
mind him on the mic. I think he would make a good commentator.
Yep. I don't mind them either. It's like,
His arrogance is just, at the end of the day, it's part of his character and it
yeah.
works really well. And I
When I
think
was watching, sorry, when I was watching Breaking Ground and it was the season finale and Tyler Breeze got called up, The Miz was the one that was there when he was like on Raw waiting to go out there or whatever, telling him like, you know, giving him, don't know, congratulatory comments and giving him confidence, I guess. Just boosting his confidence, like, you made it. Go knock it out.
That's pretty cool.
This is your moment, like.
Well, I think he's had his fair share of critics over the years,
Yeah.
and I think that he got it pretty hard when he first started.
Yep.
I think he was sort of almost laughed out of the building for most of it. I mean,
Yeah. It
I.
made him change his clothes in the hallway.
I think he got a pretty tough time for JBL, from what I've heard. But I think a lot of guys have had a tough time from JBL,
Yeah.
because Big Show also mentioned him as like one of the people who sort of was hard on him when he
Damn.
first started in WWE. So it's like, man, who can be? I mean, here's the thing that I think about Big Show is like boring as hell in the ring, right? For me personally. But human being wise, probably one of the best people on the planet. Whenever I see him getting interviewed, I could listen to him talk all day long
Yeah.
because he's the nicest guy. He's funny. He's just so down to earth.
Yeah, did you watch his podcast with Austin?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, it was great.
He just came across so well in
Yeah, it was great.
it. So, that's a guy who I think if wrestling was based on podcasts alone, he'd be the world champ. But unfortunately, it's not.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was a big fan of what he had to say. So yeah. So anyway, overall, I think that Raw this week was pretty decent. What did you think of sort of overall? How did you find it as a show?
It wasn't too bad. Like, a lot of weeks I have a lot of criticism. I don't have too much criticism this week except for when Shane botched his line.
Oh, God.
In his promo, and the fact that his punches still look terrible. They still look terrible.
Yeah.
Like, his knees, like, I could believe the knees, but his punches, no. They're still a little weak.
Yeah, I mean...
That kind of scared me, you know, that ending promo is like, you guys should have probably waited this face-to-face confrontation out until, like, maybe the go-home Raw.
Mm-hmm.
Give them a little more time to train together.
Yeah, I know what you mean, but, I mean, they had
yeah,
to...
Yeah, but overall, like I said, it was a good segment. It was a good show.
You know,
They did what was, they advanced the storylines the way that they needed to. You know, mm-hmm. They got the Triple H and Roman story going further. They got the Shane Undertaker story going further. I mean, they didn't do anything with the Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, but
I mean,
they advanced the Brock Lesnar and Dean Ambrose story. Mick Foley passing the torch to Dean Ambrose.
That was cool. That was cool.
That was awesome for me.
I loved that bit. I really did. I thought that Mick did a cracking job.
My friend really insulted me when I told him about the match because he couldn't watch Roadblock until, I think it was yesterday he watched it with me. And I told him that Dean Ambrose, like, almost won because his foot was under the rope with a butterfly DDT.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, I just don't like that move. Like, I can't believe that it could put somebody away. And I'm like, yeah, but he worked him for, like, 18 minutes up until that point. And I was like, wait a minute, what do you mean that finisher can't put people away? That was Mick Foley's finisher. He's put people like Austin and The Rock away. And you don't think that somebody can put Triple H away with one of those?
Exactly.
Was that not Mick Foley's finisher? Was I wrong? It's not like Socko was his absolute finisher. His finisher was the double-hooked DDT,
no? It was, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm like, dude, that move's put out superstars before. Even put out Triple H before. What do you mean?
Yeah, I mean, the... Mick Foley's... That was, I believe that was Cactus Jack's finisher. Was the double-arm DDT. Mankind's finisher was the Mandible Claw, which then became Mr. Socko. And Dude Love was Sweet Shin Music. So yeah, although I'm pretty sure Sweet Shin Music then went into the double arm DDT. So I'm pretty sure that Dude and Cactus both used the same move. But I mean, that's something Austin's been saying for years, is that he hates the fact that the DDT for so long was seen as just another move. He was like, as far as I'm concerned, that should be a finisher move.
To me, that's how casual fans view it, and I don't see it that way. No. Like, if somebody's finisher is like the Executioner, like the Impaler DDT or something like that, it's a finishing move.
Yeah. And, I mean, look, one of the all-time greats, Jake the Snake Roberts, DDT, straightforward finisher, planted it, boom, guy's out.
Exactly.
That's all you need, so...
And he made it up by slipping. He created the DDT by slipping during a headlock.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
That is insane.
Yeah, and it became like a created move from him. Like, that's a finisher. Shouldn't be a setup move. Like, that's what they're doing with the super kick now, you know?
Yeah, that's really annoying me.
The
super kick just gets way overused. It used to be the move that would just put people out, boom.
Yeah,
lights
no
out.
Matter what size.
Exactly. But then I suppose, to be in total fairness, the super kick used to get used, before Shawn started using it as finisher, it did used to get used as just another move. So, I mean, I remember he himself used to use that as a move in his moveset before it became his finisher. But I think he perfected it so that when he hit it, it looked like, boom, that would knock you out. Whereas, you know, I feel like some guys still don't straighten the leg fully.
Yep.
So that's why it doesn't look as effective. I mean, the Usos, every move they do for me just looks completely like there's no impact.
Yeah.
And their super kicks just look weak. The slaps on their thighs are too damn loud, and it makes it just sound like someone's clapping. Whereas with Sean, you didn't need that. It was sweet chin music. It looked good. You know,
I mean, Sean did it, but he would put his heel right on your chin.
Exactly.
And he wouldn't slap, you know, the leg that he's kicking with. He'd slap the other leg while his body was bent. Like that.
Exactly. And I mean, there's a reason that it...
Not like this. I get sick of hearing...
Yeah, it's...
Like, no, that's not what it would sound like if you kicked them that stiff. Like, they just kick them stiff. It's not like they lift their leg and then... Bah!
Exactly. And
like
that's...
a punch with their foot. It's not like that.
And you look at, like... You know? Alberto Del Rio, he just doesn't give a shit. If anyone sees him slapping his leg, he just doesn't care. He doesn't even try to disguise it.
And he just kind of, like, places his whole foot next to your cheek like a cell phone. And you're just like, here's my foot. And then they sell it.
So, obviously we got a new announcement in the old Hall of Fame this week with Jacqueline going in. Fair play to the women. Good wrestler, mainstay, you know, was there for a lot of years. Kind of falls into the category of Terry Runnels, like last time I was talking about her. Obviously a better wrestler, but she was on the team with Terry Runnels for a while.
I mean, back then, Jacqueline was throwing girls around like Becky Lynch, you know, like T-bone suplexes.
She would have fit in quite well with the divas of today. So fair play to her, but I mean then... Overall, for you, how do you see the Hall of Fame looking? How does it look to you?
I mean, it's not bad. It is what it is, you know? Like I said, I don't want them to throw a bunch of stars every single year, because then you'll run out. It's better this way. You got Sting, the Freebirds, you know, and then you got, like, Godfather, Jacqueline, Big Boss Man, you know what I mean?
Kind of
second tier guys. You should have the headliner should be like the headliner, you know, and then there should be supporting guys.
See, I think maybe you should have maybe at least two headliners. I just feel like this year I'm not going to watch it.
It's
not appealing to me at all. I'm not like, oh, you know what, I want to see this one.
I mean, you will next year or the year after, whenever The Undertaker retires.
True. They need to have, for me, they should have had at least one guy who is, like, top Attitude Era guy. Not just, like, so Sting, obviously, is their big guy. But, for me, he's not a big WWE guy. So, surely, and Sting, fair play the guy, brilliant career, top guy in WCW and... Did NWA. Well in TNA, but, you know, where's my guy that I remember when I was growing up? And the more I think about it, the more I'm finding it hard to think of guys that I would put in, bar The Undertaker. Shawn's in, Bret's in, Austin's in. I mean, the only guy left is The Rock. But I'm wondering, will they wait until he is, you know, retired completely as a wrestler? Because obviously... I mean, he's not wrestled in so long, but there's still a chance.
Yep. There's a chance he could wrestle next year. Who knows? Maybe this WrestleMania is going to set up next year's for him. Who knows?
Yeah, that would piss off CM Punk.
Nah, screw CM Punk. He got a nice payday from that. It's like, what did they get? 1.2 million buys or something for that? Cena versus Rock the first time?
Yeah.
Now imagine they got $54.99 each person that bought it. They made like $550 million because of that main event.
Yeah.
You're welcome, CM Punk.
I know, but I can still see where it was coming from, you know.
Yeah, of course, but Vince can't create stars. That's it, sorry. He can't create stars. Vince Russo knew how to create stars
with
Ed Ferrara.
I would disagree with that, man.
The proof's in the pudding. Who has Vince created other than John Cena since? And he relies on part-timers that Vince Russo claims he created.
Hulk Hogan?
NWA made him. AWA,
no,
whoever
they didn't.
It was that
no,
created
didn't.
Hulkamania,
no,
and then this dude
no.
just snatched it.
That's a lie. Hulk Hogan already existed as a wrestler, but he wasn't Hulk Hogan red and yellow Hulk Hogan. He was heel.
Yeah, but he was Hulkamania Hulk Hogan. He just wasn't red and yellow.
No, he was a heel when he came to WWE. He started as a heel, and they changed him.
Damn.
There you go. So, and Randy Savage, Undertaker. I mean, come on. Vince McMahon knows what he's doing.
Again, you don't know if these guys were created, though. Was an Ultimate Warrior from AWA with Sting?
Yeah, but I think that
It's another guy.
he's still I think that you're giving Vince Russo way too much credit, and Vince.
No, I'm just saying. I'm being impartial. I'm saying the proof's in the pudding. I literally asked you over the past 10 years, and you said Hulk Hogan. Other than John Cena, and then you said Hulk Hogan. I was like, no.
Well,
Over
I
the
mean,
past 10 years,
yeah,
how
but
many
you
stars
listen to
has he
like
genuinely
people.
created that people care about? John Cena and CM Punk. And CM Punk had a following the first day he got here.
That's true, but I think that you still need to be able to put people over to the mainstream. So,
Yeah, but he has 40 writers for that now, instead of two.
it's hard, obviously, the way it's gone, it's harder to credit Vince with stuff, because obviously there's other people who have such a large amount of input. But I mean,
In
I
the
was.
Attitude Era, Stardust would have been over. That's not going to happen anymore. We're not going to have gimmick characters anymore.
Yeah.
We're going, like, I'm not mad about it, but we're going back to, like, the 80s. Like, the 80s PG era, where we're going to have a bunch of guys with real names, and they're going to have nicknames, but we don't necessarily tie the nicknames together. You know what I mean? If you heard Jake Roberts, you would think it's a normal guy. Am I wrong?
Yeah.
Jake Roberts. But when you say Jake the Snake Roberts, it's just like Dean the Lunatic Fringe Ambrose, you know? Like, we're going back to modern names with nicknames rather
Well,
than gimmicks. But
so
even aside from that, how many stars has he made since 2006 when I left?
I
John
think
Cena and CM Punk, and CM Punk left.
yeah. That's a fair point, I suppose. I mean, the guy is getting
That's why
older,
he's
but
just trying to create Roman Reigns, because he doesn't know how to build Bray Wyatt up as a star, or Dean Ambrose up as a star, or,
Dolph
you know,
Ziggler.
Dolph Ziggler, Seth Rollins. He doesn't know how to have 7, 8 stars. He just wants that one guy.
Yeah.
When I just want another Attitude Era. I don't even need, like, the TV-14 stuff. You can use fake blood if you want. I just want stars instead of the guy. Because the guy will be the reason that Dean Ambrose ends up becoming Dolph Ziggler, and I don't think I can deal with that for 5 years. People come up, and I'm like, yo, I have high faith in this guy, and then nope,
I know what you're
not
saying.
anymore.
I know what you're saying, but there still has to be the guy, even though the a lot of good guys,
But who
but
was the guy in 2005 when I left?
John Cena.
No. John Cena still didn't win a championship at WrestleMania yet. Like, he didn't win the
All
WWE
right,
title yet.
okay. See, I'm maybe going to.
So who was the guy? They had Kurt Angle, Eddie Guerrero, Chris Benoit, Triple H, Brock Lesnar. At one point they had Goldberg with Scott Steiner. There was no one guy before.
Yeah, but see, I think
That
that.
became a thing when all those characters that were created for this man, their time dwindled off, and they had to come up with new, fresh ideas, and they just couldn't. And they lost those 15 million fans every week that were watching every week. Went down to, what was it? 3 million was the lowest this year in 20 years.
I would argue that they still during the Attitude Era, they still had the guy. Like Austin was the guy, even though there were a lot of.
Austin was the guy, but if you asked, you could ask, 100 people, and 50 of them would love The Rock just as much as the other 50 would love Stone Cold. You can't say that in John Cena's era. You can only say that towards the end with CM Punk and John Cena. You'd
Yeah.
be like, which one of those two did you like more? Well, it doesn't matter because one left. And it's not like you got left with The Rock or Stone Cold. You got left with bland, cookie cutter, white bread, baby face John Cena.
Yeah.
Eek.
I always think that for so many years that the WWE had a hangover from the Attitude Era, because
Yeah.
they had produced so many huge stars that it was almost impossible to, once Austin and Rock were gone, it was almost impossible to follow that up. Like everything you
Yeah.
did was always going to be second best.
Yeah.
And I
I
think
just
it.
feel like they got me back with the talent. Like, they got me back as a I guess I wasn't even a casual fan that turned into a hardcore fan this time around. I just jumped back in as a hardcore fan.
Yeah.
They got me back with the talent, not with the guy, John Cena,
Yeah.
or you know, I wasn't even watching at SummerSlam. I didn't hear anything about John Cena and Seth Rollins and the whole John whatever. What's his name? John Stewart.
Oh yeah, thing. Yeah.
I didn't hear about wrestling through that. I heard about wrestling through a casual friend telling me about Seth Rollins and like how much he works.
That was quite entertaining. That was quite entertaining, the whole John Stewart thing.
Yeah. I mean, I watched it back. It's pretty cool.
I think
good publicity for the guys.
I think and fair play to him for taking the attitude adjustment the next night.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah, I watched that back too. That was awesome.
But I think that it depends on who the top guy is. If the top guy's organic and is made by the fans, then they will. Then it is a good thing. Because Austin was made by the fans. Bret was made by the fans. Rock was effectively made by the fans.
They were accepted by the fans.
Yeah.
Okay. Again, Vince McMahon had Rocky Maivia.
Yeah.
Vince Russo came out with The Rock. I swear, the only reason The Rock was hot was because Vince Russo wrote it down as, you know, The Rock says this, and The Rock will do this, and The Rock will do it, and he literally just said it like that. He said it with that. The Rock says, I don't give a damn. Like, you know what I mean?
Exactly. So then you've got to give The Rock credit for that. In terms
again,
of,
a lot of that was improv, too. They were just coming off.
Same with Austin.
They were
Austin
really good with that.
Was doing that, too. Mm-hmm.
I'm an Austin guy. I'm not a bigger fan of The Rock than Austin.
I think I can't.
But my friend is a way bigger fan of The Rock.
When I was there and then and there, it was probably The Rock. Just you know, I still loved Austin so much. Had posters up in my room of both guys.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, now I look back on it, I'd probably err on the side of Austin.
Yeah.
But. You know, maybe that's because Austin stayed closer to the business than The Rock has, and that's why. But that's.
Well, yeah, just I know you said Daniel Bryan, but Daniel Bryan literally had a following too before he got here. You know, the Yes Movement was organic, but before that, people knew who he was.
They did, to an extent.
The same level of like people knew who Kevin Owens was.
Yeah.
Like when I started watching again, I didn't know who Kevin Owens was.
No.
Until I look into his history and stuff, you know?
Yeah. That was like me with Daniel Bryan. I didn't know who he was before he started. And even for a long while after he was in, I didn't care who he was, you know? And it was only after a wee while that I started to realise, you know, he's got something.
Yeah, he was doing that for 16 years, was it? 15 years?
Something like that.
Same thing with Owens.
Yep.
I was just like, what? 15 years?
I know, crazy. God. So in terms of, we've only got two more rows before Mania.
Yeah, I might be going to SmackDown next week.
Oh, excellent!
It's in Boston,
our man on the scene, John Shoes, reporting live from SmackDown.
SmackDowneth.
Oh, that's cool, man. That means when we put out the show, we'll actually have some SmackDown spoilers.
Spoiler alert!
Oh, that's pretty cool. You should totally go.
Oh, yeah, I'm trying. I mean, the tickets are only like 60-something, maybe 80-something dollars.
Mm-hmm.
It's not too bad.
Well, I would recommend that we get John Shoes out and about, man with a microphone.
Yes.
Interview some fans. Ask them what they're thinking about Mania. See what you can do.
Yeah. I'm just upset that it's not the go-home show, you know what I mean? It's the show before the go-home SmackDown.
I wish
it was the go-home show in Massachusetts.
Yeah. Where is the go-home show?
I don't even know. I think it's Ohio, maybe?
Oh, God. No, I'm pretty sure they've done an Ohio show really recently. Cause I remember
Find out right now.
Yeah, because The Miz and Dolph Ziggler, I'm sure were both fine. There was like that was alluded to, because Dolph's from there originally. So I'm pretty sure that it won't be Cleveland. So.
Yeah, let's see. It's actually in DC.
Interesting.
Washington, D.C., the capital.
What do you think of SummerSlam being in Brooklyn again?
I'm trying to go. I really want to go.
Yeah.
I really, 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 really want to go.
Well, before that, the 4 years previous, it had been in LA, which for me sucks as a crowd, so I'm glad to see it. But I hope they don't just start doing Brooklyn every year because it just starts to get a bit old.
Yeah.
So
I'm
yeah.
definitely trying to go to that though, because last year in the Barclays Center, it was nice. Like, that's my kind of fans.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And by then obviously we'll have our man Seth back and we
I
will see
know,
what's
man.
happening. So
I
hopefully,
just marked out.
yeah, that's us. So you're being shouted on in the background or something, I think. So I am pretty tired, man. It's getting
Yeah.
late over here in the UK.
Yep.
So I'm gonna call it a day or a
All right.
night. It's a day there, isn't it? What time is it in the US?
It's 6:55 right
That's
now.
as early evening.
Yep. About to
So
eat some dinner.
about to eat some dinner, I'm about to sleep some Z's.
Yeah,
So ladies and gentlemen, wherever you're listening to us, whatever you are about to do next, make sure it's safe. And we will see you next week.
yes.
And John will be bringing us a live report from SmackDown.
Yeah, be sure to check us out on Twitter. Andy is at AngryAndroid83. John Shoes is at John Shoes Music. You can find my music on YouTube, same name. You can find this podcast on player.fm and Podbean under Andrew Patterson's podcast with one T.
One T, baby.
Yes.
Exactly. Well, that's great, John. Thanks very much for all that because, as usual, I completely forgot about any sort of social media. And I know that anyone who does download this and support us is truly awesome. And give yourself a big pat on the back.
Thank you.
We can only grow with you guys listening. So appreciate if you've chosen to download the show, and hopefully you found this mildly entertaining. If it got you through a drive home from work, or if it got you through work itself, then we are glad to be a part of that. So yeah, we will bid you good night, John. Say your good nights.
Good night. Sweet dreams.
Love you.